We're turning to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. We want to read from verse number 8. Taking off where Brother Johnson left off in his reading. Verse number 8 of Luke's Gospel and chapter number 2. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying, which was told them, concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the word that we have read tonight. Thank you for everything that's taken place tonight. And we pray, Lord, that it's been unto thy glory. We just ask you, Lord, now as we come to the final part of our meeting, the most important part of our meeting, the preaching of the Holy Word of God. We pray, Lord, there'll be an ear to hear, heart to receive. Lord, that you'll make people willing and obedient to thy truth. We pray especially for sinners who know not Christ as their Saviour, that tonight they will find a Saviour in Christ. We pray, O Lord, that thou wilt go after them and draw them unto thyself. We pray that the gifts of faith and repentance will be bestowed upon those who will listen tonight, and that the Lord will be magnified in all that we say and do. Hide man behind the cross, we ask in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen and amen. The shepherd is an occupation that has been employed since the earliest chapters of the book of the Bible. Even from Genesis, we read in Genesis chapter 4, verse 2, that Eve bare again his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep. Not only Abel, but also Abraham, Lot, Laban, and Moses, and a host of others in Scripture are found with such responsibility. The shepherds in Luke's account emphasize Jesus' humble origins. People in those days believed that sheep herding was basically an unskilled labor, and therefore those who had the job of being shepherds were relegated to the lowest part of society. They really were looked down upon. It was not a job of great status. And yet, despite the fact that the shepherd was not one who had great status in society, we do find that the Lord uses the shepherd and uses the image of the shepherd to highlight many things about himself. For example, we read in Genesis 49:24, "But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is a shepherd, the stone of Israel." So the Lord calls himself a shepherd as early as the book of Genesis. In Isaiah 40, verse 11, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." Psalm 23, verse 1. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." It really is a wonderful study to look through the shepherds of the Bible. But time does not permit us to do that tonight. I simply want to focus on three different shepherds that we find in Scripture that have a direct link with Bethlehem. And I want us to look at them tonight, and I trust and pray that the Lord will write this upon our hearts, teach us many things from his word, and most importantly, for those who are not saved, speak to their heart about their need of a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. First shepherd I want to mention to you that's linked with Bethlehem is David. David, the shepherd boy. David lived in Bethlehem. He grew up in the fields of Bethlehem. Now, the custom of this time period, historians tell us, was that the youngest boy in the family became the shepherd of the sheep. And especially when the father was a shepherd and a farmer of grain, as the older son grows up then, his duties were to help his father, and then the next youngest took over the role as the shepherd. And then as he grew up, he helped the father and the older brother, and the next youngest took over the role of the shepherd of the sheep. And therefore, that was a natural thing to do. So the job is passed from the oldest to the youngest, right until the youngest becomes the family shepherd. And this is exactly what has happened in Bethlehem. And we will find this practice taking place whenever we turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. And in 1 Samuel chapter 16, this is what had happened in Jesse's household. Samuel had been sent by God to the town of Bethlehem because he wanted Samuel to anoint the next king of Israel. Saul had been disobedient, he had disobeyed God, and as a result, God rejected his family as heirs to the throne. That privilege was going to pass to another family. And we take up the reading here in verse number 1 of 1 Samuel 16. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked upon Eliab, and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. The 7 eldest of Jesse's sons were lined up to meet Samuel. Why was David not in the lineup? Because he was the youngest. He was the least important in the eyes of the family. He was just the shepherd boy out in the field. And Samuel went down the line one by one, looked upon each man. When he looked upon the first man, Eliab, he saw a strong man. He saw someone that he felt would be a leader. But that was not the chosen one of God. And he got to the end of the line, and he got to the 7th one. And he couldn't understand that there was no one here whom God had chosen out of the sons of Jesse. And then he says in verse number 11, Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him, and now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint them, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Now, as we read this passage of God's word, this is a wonderful passage. Bear in mind and remember that this is the place where Christ would be born. But David is now born of Bethlehem. He is living in Bethlehem. The Lord comes and anoints him. And it's from David's line that the Messiah is to come. He is of David's lineage. Now, whenever I read this passage, I'm always reminded of two important truths. The first is this: God's servants, and God's children for that matter, always need God's leading. You see, Samuel was a godly man. He was a spiritual man. He was used of God. But in this case, left to himself, he would have made the wrong decision. He would have picked Eliab. And Eliab was not the man that God had chosen. He needed the help of God. And there's a principle there before we go any further. For every born again child of God, we need the mind of God when we come to make decisions. And especially in the work of God. And especially about our Christian lives. And especially about our families. We need the mind of God. And God is willing and able to help us. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. If we lack wisdom, our brother prayed it in the opening prayer, let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. So we do all need the wisdom of God. But there's something else here that's very, very important. And it's in verse number 7. And it says, the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. God is interested in the heart tonight. I know in society people look at the outside because that's all they can see. But tonight the Lord looks upon the heart of every man, woman, boy and girl. The preacher here, the congregation here can only see your outward appearance. You've shown respect for the house of God. You've come dressed in an appropriate manner. But God sees the heart. And we know that the word of God teaches us the heart by nature is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And the next verse says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I search the heart. And the Lord knows tonight that there are two types of people here. There are those who are in their sin, hearts that are dark with sin, hearts that are full of sin, hearts that have the guilt of sin and the condemnation of sin upon them. But then there are those who have been saved from that sin and they're washed in the blood of the Lamb. And friend, tonight, it does not matter what the preacher thinks of you. It doesn't matter what the person at the other end of the pew or behind you or in front of you thinks of you. That's not important tonight. All that matters is how God sees your heart. That's the matter that needs to be put right. And so often, maybe we try to please others and try to put on an appearance. But we must come before the Lord and have our hearts open. And I trust and pray that as we do that, you'll be able to say, my heart has been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Dear Christian, we must let the Lord have all of our heart. This is what set David apart from the rest of his brothers. He wasn't the strongest. He maybe wasn't even the most wise. We don't really know, but we do know this. He had a heart that was right with God. He was in a place where he could be used by God. And dear believer, we must seek to give a full surrender of our heart and our mind unto the Lord. He must be Lord of all if we want to be those who declare his glory. And I say to you and I say to myself, because we are human and we are prone to sin, we are prone to wander. Let no root of bitterness, anger, pride, covetousness or jealousy take root within your heart. You see, the moment you see that coming up, even in a mild way, even in that wrong word, you get before God and say, Lord, take this out. Because if that seed is planted in your heart, there's going to be fruit. And may the Lord give us that grace to surrender our hearts and our minds to him. You know, it also reminds us the fact that we cannot see the heart of man. There's a wonderful truth here that I think we ought to remember as God's people. There are many here in this world, maybe sitting in this congregation tonight, and their heart is heavy. Their heart is burdened. Their heart is filled with cares that we have no knowledge of. And you know, we look at the face and a smile is maybe put on. Hello, how are you? And that behind that smiling face is a heart that maybe is just about coping with life. And therefore, it's a reminder to you and it's a reminder to me the importance of the sanctified tongue. We need to be careful what we say to people. May the Lord give us grace to be slow to speak. May we know wisdom to speak in love and kindness. And may the Lord give us grace to pray over the words that we say. That's a wonderful prayer to pray in the morning, Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Only in that way can we bring glory and honour to him. And you know, sometimes we can be this with our tongues, sometimes maybe we can be angry, sometimes we can say something just in the heat of the moment. And you know, maybe that's fine and we forget about it, but what about the persons that received it? What about the wound we've inflicted upon their heart? Maybe that's the last straw for them. And they've been struggling to cope with life, and friend, you've just come and put the hammer on it all. We need to be careful. We are to be people who are Christ-like in our attitude, in our speech, and in our walk. And I'll tell you, it's a struggle every day. It's a battle every day. But praise God, there's victory every day, because Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Unsaved person tonight, you're still in your sin. And as the Lord looks upon your heart, he sees you as you truly are. Oh, maybe your family tonight think that you're a good person. Maybe they even think you're saved. Maybe the preacher is looking down in this congregation and assumes you're saved by your conduct. But the reality is God sees your heart, and you yourself know how God sees you tonight. Praise God, your sin can be dealt with tonight. If you repent from it and call on the Lord for a cleansing in his precious blood, he is able to save the sinner. And I love this hymn. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have peace in my soul, which for long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. David's heart was right with God. He was saved. He was trusting in the Savior promised for sinners. His hope was in Christ for his salvation. In fact, it's often he takes the lessons that he learned in the shepherd's field, and they're put into the Psalms, and we see some of those lessons from the field, how the Lord protected him, how the Lord guided him, and how even as the shepherd, he was able to see how the Lord shepherds his people. Oh, may our hearts be right with our God. So the first lesson from David, the shepherd of Bethlehem, is that God sees our heart. And then the second shepherd or shepherds that we want to look at are the shepherds at the birth of Christ. Turn with me to Luke's Gospel in the chapter number 2. And there's just a few little things I want to highlight here from this passage. These shepherds were out on the hillside of Bethlehem. Bethlehem is not very far from Jerusalem, just about a mile to a mile and a half of a distance from Jerusalem. And therefore, the sheep that were reared on the hills of Bethlehem, many of them, whenever they were discovered to be without blemish and they were to be perfect, they were taken and they were used as the sacrifices in the temple. And I think it's marvelous, and isn't it just so wonderful that the Lord showed himself first to those that were rearing the lambs that were to be the sacrifices in the temple. And those very shepherds were brought to see the Lamb of God, the ultimate sacrifice who beareth away the sin of the world. A few things I want you to notice about them. They were fearful when their circumstances changed. Verse 9, it says, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said, fear not. Well, I think if there's any feeling that we can identify maybe with this year, it's maybe the feeling of fear. And the more maybe you listen to news, the more fearful you become. But I think we can all identify with change. Here were these men going about their daily lives. This wasn't an unusual night. This wasn't anything different for them. But the thing was, things happened suddenly. And change came into their life, and fear came in as a result. And whenever change comes in suddenly to our lives, then fear can be an overwhelming emotion. What's going on? What's happening in this world? Perhaps this has been a week of fear for you because of circumstances in your life. But isn't it wonderful that the Christian, even in the midst of a sudden change, even in the midst, as it were, of your world changing completely about you all of a sudden, they were able to say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even as deep a valley as death, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And the Christian believer tonight has the privilege of taking their fears to the Lord and asking for the peace of God that passeth all understanding. That's yours by sovereign right. Christ purchased that by his blood for you, the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Dear believer, if you're in fear tonight, call upon the Lord. But not only was there fear when their circumstances changed, I want you to notice that they were blessed when they heard the word of God. What a message that they received that night. What a message. And it was the word of God. It was a message from heaven itself that took away their fear. What was the message that was brought? He said, well, behold, I bring you good tidings, good news of great joy. This was good news. Now, it seems to be sometimes people, when they speak to you, when there's something bad to tell you, We very rarely get phone calls to do with good news, don't we? In our families or in our workplaces, and so many times it's often the bad news we receive. Turn on the television, it's all bad news. Maybe a happy news item at the very end of the programme for about 30 seconds, but for the most of it it's bad news. Praise God, when I open this book, it's good news. It's victory. It's the Lord ruling and reigning. It's Christ coming again. It's Christ bringing his people to him one by one. All the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. It's a mandate to go and preach the world with the gospel. This is good news. And I encourage God's people to get into the word of God, open the book, and get some good news into your soul. Oh, how that will change your perspective. It was the news of salvation because a Saviour was born. And friend, that's the news men and women need to hear. It's about salvation. Sadly, today we're living in a world where people feel there's no hope anymore. They can't be delivered from their circumstances. There's no way out. And our hearts grieve when we hear that, because there's good news here. There's good news. The Lord can deliver from the deepest pit, from the darkest night, from the deepest addiction. Our God is able. And therefore, friend, there is good news. There's news of salvation. It says, a Saviour which is Christ the Lord. And that word Christ correlates with the Old Testament word Messiah, our Saviour, the promised one, the anointed one is here. And friend, that's the good news, that what God has promised, he has fulfilled. You see, his word is faithful. We can depend upon it. He promised to send a Saviour, and he has sent a Saviour. He promised to provide salvation. He has provided salvation. And he promises tonight that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's true. And that can be taken. God can be taken at his word, and you can be saved. It's a message of great humility. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. We spoke about this morning. No man ever humbled himself like this before or since. It was a message of peace. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now let me remind you that this peace is not between nation and nation. That is not the peace that the Lord is speaking about here. It is peace between God and man. And that's the more important peace. Now I know we want to live peaceably in this world. I know we don't want to be involved in wars or anything like that. But certainly, friend, the most important peace that you can know and experience tonight is the peace of God, because of peace with God. And this was the message from heaven, peace on earth. Friend, are you at peace tonight? I'm asking you genuinely, is your heart at peace tonight because you know you're saved? You're washed in the blood of the Lamb. You know for sure, should the breath leave your body and the pew that you're sitting in tonight, or the chair you're sitting in at home, you know for a fact you'll open your eyes in glory. That's peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. They were blessed when they heard the word of God. But not only were they blessed, they were wise in their response to God's word. Look at verse 15. It came to pass, as the angels were gone away from then unto heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. You see, they realized that this was a message from the Lord. I think that's a very important thing. The Holy Spirit has that there in for a reason. The message from heaven was a message from the Lord. Do you realize that every time this book is opened and the word of God is faithfully preached, it's a message from the Lord? God is speaking to you. Doesn't matter who the preacher is. If the word of God is being preached faithfully, God is speaking to you. And I wonder how many times God has spoken to you in your life. I wonder tonight, how many times have you sat in this building and listened to a message from the Lord, but your response has been to put it off, to ignore it, to forget about it? Look at the response of the shepherds. They acted upon the word of the Lord immediately. Let us now go. Let us now go even unto Bethlehem. They didn't wait till tomorrow morning. They didn't think about it and debate it. They acted immediately upon the word of God. What a lesson here. For every believer, when the Lord speaks to you, you receive that word, you obey that word, you act upon that word, and I'll tell you, you will know the blessing of God in your life. And I say to every sinner here, when God speaks to you, you receive that word and you obey it. What if tonight was the last night that the Lord spoke to you and that you heard the preaching of the word of God? Friend, are you going to turn it away? Are you going to say, no, Lord, I'm not wanting that just right now. Yes, I want to be in heaven, but I want to put it down the road a little bit. I want to wait for a few more years, enjoy what I have of this life. No, no, no. What if tonight should be the last night? We're not to boast ourselves of tomorrow, for we know not what a day may bring forth. A friend, the shepherds, and there's many things that have been preached about the shepherds, but I think this is a very important one. They obeyed immediately and acted upon the word that the Lord gave to them. I wonder, can that be said of me? Can it be said of you? But there's one other thing that we'll notice about them. And verse number 17 says, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them by the child. Verse 20, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Not only were they blessed when they heard the word of God, not only were they wise in their response to God's word, but they were compelled when they found the God of the word to tell others. What they had heard, what they had seen, what they had learned, they were unable to keep to themselves. So they told others the good news. We found the Saviour. We have seen the Messiah. We have seen God in flesh revealed to us. And not only did they tell others, they glorified and they praised God. They believed that this was the Saviour for them. And you know, as I thought about that, how important it is for God's people to be like these shepherds, coming into the presence of God, meeting with our Saviour on a daily basis and finding Him, hearing Him, seeing Him by the eye of faith as He is revealed to us in the Word. And I'll tell you, you see, when you see the Lord and you hear a word from the Lord, you'll find it difficult to keep to yourself. You'll want to tell others. You'll want to praise God. You'll want to glorify God. These shepherds were obedient to the message of God, and praise God, they shared with others. I challenge every believer tonight in this building and those who are watching online, when was the last time you shared the gospel with another individual? When was the last time you simply said, I'm a Christian, born again of the Spirit of God, I'm saved and washed in the blood of the Lord, Jesus Christ? When was the last time you made the effort to tell someone else to come and listen to the word of God being preached, to come with you to God's house? When was the last time? Oh, may we get a sight of Christ that will thrill our hearts and give us a desire to go like the shepherds and tell of Christ. We thought of David, the shepherd in Bethlehem, and how the Lord looks upon the heart. We thought of the shepherds here on the hillside of Bethlehem and their response to the word of God. But finally, of course, we're coming to the shepherd. And if you turn with me to John chapter 10 and verse 11, and we're almost through tonight, but we can't leave without bringing you to Christ. And we read in John chapter 10 verse 11, his very words. This is the one that was laid in the manger in Bethlehem. This is the one that is God incarnate. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He is the saving shepherd. He gave his life for his sheep. You know, I love the fact that he gave himself for me. Friend, if you ever feel pride coming into your heart, or you feel tempted to do something wrong, you get back to this truth. He died for me. He rose again for me. He's conquered sin and death and hell for me. And there's victory in Jesus over everything I have to face. He did it all for me. He is the shepherd, as we read elsewhere in Luke's Gospel, where he goes and after the wandering sheep. He goes over the mountains wild and bare. He searches until he finds it, and then he lifts it up and he places it upon his shoulder and he carries it back to the fold. Oh, what a beautiful illustration that is of God's salvation. Because we are the sheep that have gone astray. We've gone everyone to his own way. The Lord hath laid in him the iniquity of us all. We couldn't find our way to heaven should we try for a million years. But praise God, the shepherd has come searching for us. And he lifts us up, and that speaks of our inability to do absolutely anything. And he carries us to that place of safety. And praise God, he will carry us safely home. The shepherd tonight is searching for the lost. Those who are unsaved tonight, those who are on their way to hell, the Lord Jesus Christ is searching for you. Those nail-scarred hands are reaching out to you. All that heart of love is beating for you. And friend, tonight, the Lord can lift you and bring you into the fold. Not only that, he is the guiding shepherd, it says in verse 4, and when he putteth forth his sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. We must, as the people of God, listen to the voice of the shepherd. How many things in life, how many problems in life, oh, how many difficulties in life could have been avoided if we had only taken time to listen to the shepherd and follow his leading. Many voices are vying for our attention today, even within Christian circles. Many people saying, this is the voice of God, this is the voice of God. But friend, we must come into the quiet place with God, because there's only one voice to be obeyed, and that is the voice of God. He will lead us. He goes before us. And even as we were thinking this morning, he's experienced everything that we have to face in life. The very fact that he is before us means he's walked that way before us. We're following in his footsteps. Not only is he the saving shepherd and the guiding shepherd, but he is the caring shepherd. And with this we're through. Verse 13. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. But I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And friend, there is a beautiful insight into the heart of our Saviour. There are other sheep, which I have, which are not of this fold. There are men and women and boys and girls whom the Lord has died for, and they're not yet saved. And the work of the Lord still goes on today through the preaching of his word, through the testimony of his people, through the witnessing of his people. The message of the gospel is going out, and one by one the Lord is bringing the sheep into the fold. There's going to be one fold, and there's going to be one shepherd. You know, whenever we think of this world and we think of the Christian church, and I mean that in the right sense of the word, those churches that are faithful to the word of God, and there's some differences between different churches on minor issues, of course. And there's so many divisions, really. And that's because of heresy that's crept in down the lines into different denominations, and we have to confess and acknowledge that. But one of the things that's going to be unique about heaven is that there is going to be one fold. We're all sinners saved by the grace of God and washed in the blood of the Lamb. The Lord alone is our shepherd. I praise God for the denomination I'm in. I praise God for the church that I'm in. And we pray that the Lord will keep it ever faithful to his truth. But friend, I'm more glad that I'm in the fold of God. I'm more glad I'm saved. Are you tonight? There's a shepherd who loves you. He came to this earth, Bethlehem, that he might grow and live a perfect life, that he might die for you as your substitute. And friend, tonight, if you will bow your head and confess your need before him, he will save you. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. And I know, Lord, tonight you see my heart, and I know, Lord, it's wrong. I know if I die in my sin, I'll be in hell. But I pray you'll save me tonight. I pray you'll wash me in the blood. Will you pray that tonight? Will you call on the Lord to save you? And here's the promise. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Make this the greatest Christmas. The greatest day of your life. Come. come to Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the opportunity tonight to present our Saviour, the Good Shepherd. Oh Lord, only he can say he giveth his life for the sheep. We thank thee for the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. We thank thee, Lord, for the work that has been completed, and for the shepherd who stands willing to lift the sheep who's lost. Lord, there are people in this meeting tonight, and if they're honest before thee, Lord, they're lost. Their heart is dark with sin. Lord, should you call them into eternity just now, they would be in hell. And all the while, there's a Saviour standing with outstretched arms, ready to save. Lord, I believe you're speaking to people tonight. I pray, Lord, you'll take a great dealing with hearts and bring sinners unto thyself, not for the glory of this church or this preacher, but for the extension of the kingdom of God. And we will give all the praise and all the honour and all the glory to our Saviour, for he alone is worthy. Bless us over this Christmas season, Lord. Watch over our families and our homes. But above all, visit our homes and unite us in Christ, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.